My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. So in today's episode, we are going to talk about, can you stay friends with your ex as a love addict? And I need to really heavily emphasize, as a love addict. I know that there are people all over who will feel very strongly about this and will say, well, of course you can stay friends with your ex. If I don't understand why people can't stay friends with an ex, that says something about them and their emotional maturity, and, you know, we're adults and da 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 da. And there are people who will say otherwise for their own reasons. When I am speaking on this podcast, especially when I qualify it, for those of us who are love addicts, it is because the way that we show up in relationships, our triggers, what's important to us, what happens when what we need is not being provided, what happens in our hearts and our minds, what is triggered within our trauma stories is very unique and different. And also the consequences that happen from that, or at least the levels that we will go when we are triggered in this way, is more extreme than other people. They don't get it. So when people say things kind of matter-of-factly, or when maybe securely attached people give really great, well-meaning advice, we have to be mindful of whether or not we can take that. And if we do take that advice, to make sure that we are doing it in such a way that is fair to us, that we're being honest with ourselves about what we're actually needing and wanting from that interaction, from that relationship, so that we do not regress in our healing journey, that we do not get put back in a situation that we don't want to be in, or better yet, that we don't end up getting heartbroken on the other side of it. So I find that a lot of my clients and folks that I work with, that this is one of the things that they have to heavily navigate, even if it's someone that they know that it is a toxic relationship and that it's something that maybe they shouldn't be involved in romantically. There is still a pull to want to be friends with that person. And so in today's episode, I'm going to talk about three things for you to consider if you want to stay friends with an ex as a love addict. I'm going to talk about what it looks like for you to be in these relationships, and hopefully this gives you some discernment on what next steps you're going to take. To be clear, this is not going to be a gotcha episode where I will come and list all these things, because I have a stake in getting you to say no. What I have a stake in is making sure that every single person that listens to this podcast episode and every other episode that you listen from me, that you learn how to make decisions from a place of wholeness, from a place of health, not a place of fear and scarcity, not a place of wondering about what other people are going to say about you, not for your own either made up rules or rules that were put onto you about what it looks like to be an evolved and healthy human. I want you to make a decision that is based on your desires and your wants. And so when you're doing that, you're winning. And I am winning by association to help you get to that place as well. So that is what my hope is. There may be some questions that I put here today that may be difficult for you to work through, but that's okay. Because it's going to help you figure out what it is that you want, so that you can make the best decision for yourself. Because if this is supposed to be a lifelong bestie, we want to make sure that you are starting off with a good foot and with the best of intentions to make sure that you have a friendship that lasts. So that's it. Let's go ahead and jump on in. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
Okay, so I have a question for you. On a scale of 0 to 5, where 0 is I don't think about it at all, and 5 is I'm fully connected, how on top of your hormone health are you? If you said 0 to 1, it is time to build that connection. Your hormones and your cycle are central to your overall functioning, and regulating your body will completely transform your mental, emotional, and physical health. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. And even though it helps for more than just menopause, Hormone Harmony is great for any horrible menopausal symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low mood, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, bloating and gas, lower sexual desire. Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BGH at checkout. Okay, so if you are not a regular listener to this podcast, but you have clicked on this title, it is because you either are or have in the past considered staying friends with someone that you were in a romantic partnership with, and you're wanting to know, is this a good idea? And like I said in the intro, the context that I'm going to provide this feedback is if you are a love addict. A love addict is someone who confuses the intensity and obsession and or rumination that you may have with an over-attachment to someone, confusing that with love. That does not mean that you do not have genuine love for this person, that you were maybe even at any time in love with them, but your inability to put up boundaries, your inability to let go, your inability to choose yourself and make real changes, you may mistake that for the fact that this is your person. And sometimes love makes you do crazy things. And, you know, it's too hard to let go, which means that this must be real, which means that I need to keep giving effort and keep trying. Maybe there's something that I'm missing. Maybe what I've been hoping to happen and the change I've been hoping for my partner or myself to be able to create, because this is so hard to let go, maybe that means I'm not supposed to. And there's a lot of fear of missing out, a fear of abandonment, a fear of being abandoned yourself. And you're mistaking the intensity of those emotions for love versus maybe this is a well-worn pattern where you have created this belief that things that once I have this ultimate access to love, to being chosen, to being in the right partnership, that I will finally be able to feel safe, feel whole. And if this person that I am so attached to can choose me back, then that's going to fix everything. The problem is just that we are having these conflicts together, but once we overcome them, it'll be fine. You don't quite see that this problem existed before this person, that there may be some ways that you have not been choosing yourself or seeing your worth, which is why you continue to get into relationships with people who don't quite deserve you, who don't quite treat you in a way that you need to be treated. And a lot of times that you might even not know what it is that you want in a relationship. And if you do, you may second guess it and feel like you're asking for too much. So that's kind of where we're starting. So with this type of setup, it can be very hard for you to see clearly. And this is across the board. This is for women who have double PhDs. This is for women who are CEOs of businesses. This is for people who have started nonprofit organizations. This is for women who have raised 6, 7 kids to be the most discerning, responsible people in the world, by way of their own wisdom, that you are the person in the community and the friend group that gives the best advice. Every single woman, if there is an unhealed pattern of relationships and connections within you, you can have this blindness in your perception when it comes to you, because this is not, love addiction is not, has nothing to do with being logical. It has nothing to do with the promises and the willpower that you make to yourself that you're never going to do something again or choose yourself. Is all about how you may recreate your trauma in the relationships that you have. So knowing that a lot of times the decisions that you make are unconscious and you think that you may be making a decision that is in your best interest, or you're afraid to make decisions in your best interest. That's why I have a whole podcast and why I have programs and everything else dedicated to this, because I know that sometimes even with our best judgment, we will make decisions that are not in our best interest. And so hopefully having this outsider perspective of someone who has gone through this healing process herself and actively helps hundreds of women through this process every day as a coach and a teacher and a healer, that will help you get to the other side. So if this is your setup, that sometimes it's hard for you to discern when a relationship is dangerous versus when it's just over, or just a little bit of both. Like it's over because it was dangerous, which means that typically we don't play with fire. Typically we don't play with the animal in the neighborhood that has a history of biting other people because we're trying to prove that we're a good person that loves dogs and animals, that we're trying not to be judgmental. Usually we know that I can be someone who's a dog lover, someone who has a great heart for animals, but that one over there, I'm going to respect where it is and how it shows up, and I'm going to love all the other animals. I'm going to get all the love that I want, but I'm not going to pick up the one that's going to hurt me. As a love addict, you are often attuned to this type of mistreatment. So other people may be able to see how dangerous the behavior of this neighborhood animal is, but you don't. You see it as, well, you know, they've just been through some things, but I think if I'm around it a little bit longer, it will warm up to me. And, you know, yeah, they keep nipping at me, and it's just a little bit. I'm just bleeding a little bit. I'll stop bleeding. They'll get used to me over a while. Meanwhile, you're getting, you know, the same most taken total snags out of you, you know? But again, because of the trauma you've been through, you don't even qualify the harm that's happening to you as that dangerous. You have learned very well to take this type of abuse. You've learned very well to take this type of mistreatment. So if you've gotten to a place where you have broken up with this person, or this person has broken up with you, but either way, it's the breakup is so permanent that now you're at a place to decide, okay, is this person going to stay in my life as a friend? That's huge. And that's something that I hope that you are celebrating for yourself, because breaking up with someone that you are really in love with, one, is very hard. And two, if you're trauma bonded to them, that makes it even double hard, right? And so in discerning what's the difference, I know a lot of people have a lot of shame sometimes when it comes to their exes, especially if your story can relate to this metaphor that I just gave about this, you know, neighborhood animal that will attack you ferociously and harm you. If you've had friends and family members who have watched this going on, if you've had your therapist or other people who've watched this going on, not only do you feel your own hurt about it, but you may feel a lot of shame and embarrassment by what other people have seen, especially when you look back after the smoke has cleared and after you have some time away from them. And so because I know that shame very well, and I know that embarrassment very well, I just want to stop here a moment and tell you to celebrate yourself, girl. Celebrate yourself for choosing yourself. Even if the breakup happened in a way that you didn't want it to happen, or it was just kind of chaotic, the fact that there is a break right now is huge. Whether or not that break is 5 minutes, 5 hours, or 5 years, the break is huge, and you deserve to celebrate yourself every step of the way. So we've broken up. Now what? I want to keep this person as a friend because they mean a lot to me, because I can't imagine them not being in my life, because they are my best friend, because I would feel bad to just completely cut them off. I would feel bad in making them think that there's something wrong with them if I stopped talking to them. I would feel bad because they're my access to fun and to friendship and to having a confidant. You know, there's a lot of reasons why love addicts may want to keep their friend in their life. And so, like I shared, I'm going to give you three questions for you to discern whether or not this is healthy for you. And I want to emphasize the word I'm using is healthy, not whether or not it's right, not whether or not it's wrong. One thing life has taught me is that there is no such thing as true black and white. There's a whole lot of gray. What is the best decision for you may not match what's the best decision for other people, and vice versa, because you're the one who has to live this life. You're the one who knows what your traumas and your triggers and your expectations and your standards are. So you need to be the one to decide them. That does not mean that there's like no decision that's not the healthiest for you. Because I do not want to enable folks who are like, well, if I can do anything at all, then I'm just going to do this thing that you consciously, as you go through this episode, when it all comes down to it, it is the thing that is most harmful to you. And because you are an agent in the story that you create, hun. As much as a love addict kind of has this desire and hope that life will just happen to them and by way of that happen for them, that one day that they will stumble upon a relationship and a life and a love that will redeem all the heartbreaks that they had and make it all worth it, you are an active agent in your story in which direction it goes. So if you are actively choosing things that are sabotaging your ability to have that part of your story, if that's what you want, if you're actively sabotaging your own personal growth and learning how to say no to things that harm you so that you can start to say yes to the things that actually uplift you and heal you and love you, then you're going to keep digging a hole into places that you do not want to be. You're going to keep getting deeper and deeper and getting stuck and then wondering why isn't anything changing? You got to take your power back. You have to understand that if there are things that are happening around me that I don't like how it makes me feel, that I don't like how I'm being treated, that I do not like what I'm being left with and the choices that I'm being given, it is up to you to decide whether or not you're going to leave that situation, adjust the access that people have to you, if you're going to raise or adjust your standards or lower your standards in some ways, especially from a love avoidance. Sometimes my love avoidance, y'all make things very impossible because of your fear of being hurt and your fear of being over controlled and losing your independence. Sometimes y'all can make the ability to let others love you impossible. And again, if this is your first time joining me, I'm using y'all a lot, like, you as love addicts or you as love avoidance. But again, I have walked this journey with y'all. I could be saying we. But just for whatever reason, today I'm saying y'all. So just know that I'm not talking down to you. I really am talking with you. But maybe we as love addicts, we need to look at maybe lowering our standards in some way and not down to hell, but to where we are not so quick and good at nitpicking people to death about things that really don't matter, things that are not about integrity, that are not about character, that are not about safety, all the little ridiculous things that we can do to keep people away from us. But I will save that for another podcast episode. Going back to you being the agent of your own story, it's so important to make sure that you are picking friendships. Friendships are just as important, if not more important, than you picking a partner. Now, actually, let me not speak in hyperbole. The partner you pick, especially if you're someone who believes in monogamy and wants to have a long-term partnership, you better get that one right, my love. You better get that one right. But in both aspects, you are hopefully choosing folks who can be around you and that you will be in relationship with for a lifetime. When we choose our friends, we are choosing our family. We are choosing people that we are going to share our ups and our downs with, the ones who are going to be there through the birth of children, through the loss of children, God forbid, through unifications and through separations, through celebrations and through times of hurt, through laughs and giggles and late night binges, and through moments of sadness and despair and just inability to get up or have a desire to move forward. We want to make sure that the people who are there, the people that we are choosing to be there, are folks who have full capacity to be there for us, that they are emotionally capable and have their own resilience and tools to actually be our friends, to actually be able to show up for us when we have nothing to give and when we are not able to give on our own, that they have their own ability to be self-accountable for when they do either make a mistake or when we do need to have a conversation, that they are able to find joy in their everyday life and that they are able to have their own substance that they can bring into our relationship or bring into our friendship in the same way that we're going to be bringing it too, that we are two healthy and full human beings that are going to be growing together. Because I'm guessing if you listen to this podcast, you're wanting to grow. You're wanting to have love. You're wanting to have abundance. You're wanting to have freedom. You're wanting to let go of all the curses and patterns that have been a part of your life, right? So we're only taking people who can do that with us and bring that type of energy with us. So if we have an ex relationship with someone who does not have those qualities, I haven't even gotten to the questions yet, but just those qualities. Do we have people? Are we looking at our ex? Is this a person who is self-accountable when they may make a mistake? Are they someone who can talk through things whenever there is a disagreement? Is this someone that not only can I trust to for me to share something with and that they'll keep in confidence? Can I trust that they will be available for me whenever I want to and need to talk with them later? So I've talked in the other episodes about how there are different levels of friendships and relationships, right? We have our inner circle folks, which are the people that we share our deepest, darkest things with, and that are part of our everyday experience. And then we have folks that are right before the associate level, but they're still friends. They're people that we will hang out with. They may be people that we still share intimate parts of our life with. You know, we're not going to share intimate things in our life with the person that we're standing behind at Target, even if we see them all the time. Like, that's not our friend until we make the bridge to say, hey, girl, I see you all the time. You want to grab lunch sometime? Then we're moving into friendship. But until then, you know, there's certain levels of access that people don't have to us. But even with the people that we casually connect with as friends, there is an expectation that I can trust you, that you're not going to harm me, that you're going to do things that are in my best interest, that you're going to treat me with respect, that you're going to be protective of my experience, because I'm going to do the same to you. And if I have anyone around me, no matter what level they are at, whether or not it is the casual friend or the one who I'm in the deep inner circle with, and this is a person that does not care to protect me. They do not care to be consistent and fair towards me. They do not quite even really like me as a person, but they like what I do for them. That I'm just keeping them around as a comfort animal, even though when I'm around them, things are kind of icky and complicated and messy, and I'm not quite sure if I can actually be myself. And there's certain parts of my story or their story that I actually don't quite want to hear about because it will make me uncomfortable to hear about. Then is this person actually a friend? What is it that I'm actually wanting them around for? Which is question number one. If you are contemplating keeping, staying friends with an ex, what is it that I want from this relationship? What is it that I'm hoping that they will give me? Am I hoping that they will give me quality time? And under that quality time, is there actually something? Is that just like the umbrella of what I'm wanting? Is there actually something within that quality time that I'm actually wanting to have with them? Am I still wanting to get that affirmation that I'm special to them, that I'm pretty to them, that I'm the only one to them? Am I hoping for those experiences to be a part of that in either the way they look at me or whether or not what they say to me, or if we are still being physically intimate in any way, even if it's just holding hands, which if you're someone who is sexually active, I would be very mindful of not having clear physical boundaries with someone that you are not in a romantic partnership with because of how quickly things can slide into that, right? Which will definitely confuse things for you. I'm not even going to say for the other person, but for you, it will confuse things. So, am I just wanting quality time just to kick it and chill neutrally, or is there something else within that? Is there some type of energy and emotional validation and care that I'm hoping that I can still have access to by keeping this person as a friend? And if so, I would really encourage you to think about why is it that this is the only person or the person that I want to have this from? Do I have any other people in my life that can give me this type of affirmation and care? Do I know how to give this type of affirmation and care to myself? Am I wanting to keep this person around? Still the same question because they are the person who knows so much about my family and my background. They've been my confidant this whole time, right? They've been the only person I've talked to. Same question. Are there any other people in your life that you can share these things with?
Hey, we hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
As our country continues to grow and make new meaning of the intersection between current and historical events, it is so important to stay connected to the voices and the leaders who are influencing what progress, connection, equality, and truth mean to us as Black people. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today. told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection from some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths on NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. The thing that happens with love addicts that makes it really hard when it comes to breaking up with folks as well is love addicts will trump romantic partnerships so much that though they become the end-all be-all. So all the ways that you may have been connected to your friends and your loved ones before and kind of been more evenly spread out, when your partner comes around, you will slowly or quickly sometimes make that person your everything. So now they are the friend in your life. They are now the access to fun and new experiences. They are now they're the source for affection and for care and for rest and relaxation. So when that person is gone, it's truly devastating because you've made that person your everything. And also because love addicts kind of will, again, champion romantic love as being the ultimate experience, when you consider and think about getting all those things from other relationships in your life, it just looks rinky dink. it doesn't seem as if it would be as fun or as enjoyable or as fulfilling because it was so good when it was with this person. And you really set yourself up for disappointment to make one person be your everything. And as much as being in the right partnership is healing and loving and beautiful, that person is also another human being, and you have to have your own identity. You have to have your own experiences outside of it. You know, I talk about the Gottmans all the time as far as relationship science, but another person that I really love who's also really out there and has so many resources talking about relationship strength is Esther Perel, and how she talks so much about what makes long-term commitment and healthy love and monogamy rich and vibrant and what adds to it. And she is absolutely a proponent of, even in the best of relationships, you have to have your own access to yourself and your own identity and your own access to be your source. And that goes up against everything that a love addict wants. And it to believe that you still have to have some type of source outside of your romantic partnership, it kind of dims the dream, because the dream is that this experience is going to save me. And what I want to communicate to you is that this is not saying that what it's almost like by me saying this, it could almost feel like, well, you're always going to feel either not enough or you're always going to feel lacking in some way because what you have thought to be the solution doesn't actually exist. And I want you to know that your solution does exist. It absolutely exists. The freedom that you want, the liberation that you want, the security that you want, the love that you want, it absolutely exists. It's just the package that you put it in. The package that you put it in and what it was supposed to look like, that's not what it has to look like. There's other ways that are fulfilling, if not more fulfilling. And it's not the plan B. It's not the, you know, store brand version of love, the generic version of love that you got to settle for because you didn't have access to the name brand. It is real, true, genuine, rich, grade A, 100%, you know, non-factory made, farm raised. It is grass fed. It is real, true love in the richest form. When you can have access to yourself, because then it is abundant and then it overflows. So going back to the nature of what this episode is about, can you be friends with an ex, and what is it that I actually want from them? If you're trying to keep somebody around as a source from all these different types of love and connection and comfort and care, because you are not allowing other friends to have that place as well, and you have championed this person to being your only source of it, then I would really consider the amount of pressure that you're putting on this partnership, especially because this partnership right now is broken. It's y'all are, if not broken in that it won't be repaired, broken in that how y'all were originally connected is no longer what's happening right now. So either way, you are going to have to readjust what this friendship looks like. The amount of access and time and care that you have around them is going to be different. Okay. I was going to ask this question at the very end, but I'm going to ask it now because I think it's going to really set into place what where y'all's brain needs to go. If there's an ex that you want to be friends with that you still have some romantic connection with, or you don't think that you do, but you might actually, that you're not aware of. Like if you're still like, I just want to be the friends, and I'm still just on question one, but I'm going to put this here. Something that I want you to consider is if you knew tonight or right now, wherever you are, if you knew that right now in this moment, that they were not only having sex with someone right now, as I'm talking to you, if you could imagine them having sex with someone right now, telling this person that she was the best person they ever dated, looking them deep in their eyes, telling them that you are so beautiful. I've never felt this safe around someone. I've never felt someone who's understood me as much as you do. I feel like the future that I thought I was going to have is so much brighter because you're here. You have changed me. And I've never felt this way before. And not only was he or she saying this, but they meant it. They weren't just saying it for the moment. All the things that you have felt were just unique to you, right? That you were the funniest girl that he or she ever talked to or dated. That you were the one that the parents loved more than any of the other relationships. You know, whatever you felt that was so unique to you. Imagine that he's with someone where all those things are true about her or them. Can you still be friends with him or her knowing that that is the case, that they are in a relationship where that is how they feel? Because that's what friendship is. Friendship is actually being someone's friend. It means being happy for them when they are in love. It means holding space for them when they are moving on. It means wanting the best for them. Can you be this person's friend and champion that relationship and be so happy for what they have while still also holding that you are happy for yourself as well? That is a question you need to ask yourself. And if that is something that does not ring true for you right now, but you want it to, either because it's too new or it's been a while, but no one has said that to you before or said something similar to you before, so this is a new way of conceptualizing, wow, we would really truly just be friends. And so you need some time to sit with it, then do that. Do whatever it is that you need to do. But just understand to actually be someone's friend means that you would be on the receiving end of those types of stories and that you would need to be happy for them, right? You would not be sabotaging them. It would not be that in your head you go towards, well, you might really like them, but at least I had this. I want you to go to all those places, all the places where you have felt like you have been unique, because what you want your friend, you don't want your friend to be in lack, right? You want your friend to have full access to the love, the same type of ultimate love that you want for yourself. So you wouldn't wish for your friend to have 80% of what they want, right? You would wish for your friend to have 100%. So consider that. And if you feel like you could not listen to that and have space for that right now, then either that means that it might behoove you to take a break and trying to build a friendship with this person until you kind of heal a little bit more and gain a little bit more confidence around what is available for you in life and what your value is in this person's life or maybe in everybody's life, to that you are still worthy and good even when you're not holding the space. And then decide from there if this relationship with this person actually gives you enough that is worth, that's unique from the other friendships and relationships that you have in your life to keep them around in that aspect. The second question for you to ask yourself of why do I want to be friends with my ex, or can I be friends with my ex, is why exactly do I want to be friends with them? So the first one is, what do I want from this friendship? The second one is, why do I want to be friends with them? There may be some overlap here as far as, am I looking for access to some type of affirmation or care that I'm special or attention or sex or just physical intimacy and the memory of companionship and stuff and just having the shared history. Is that part of it? Also, you can look at what are some of the other emotions around that. Is there a part of you that feels like you need to stay friends with your ex out of obligation? You've given so much to them, this person kind of needs you a little bit, and there's a little bit of codependency there. Like, I can't not be their friend because if I'm not their friend, they didn't really have those that good of friends before, and their family's kind of crazy, and they were kind of struggling. Like, it's not going to work out with us romantically, but I need to stay their friend because if I'm not there, then who will be? And as wonderful as that is for my love addicts, we have a tendency to put ourselves in harm's way emotionally, mentally, financially, spiritually, because we will project our own abandonment trauma onto other people. And we will make up that if we choose ourselves, that means that we are abandoning other people in the way that they abandon, the way that other people before us abandoned us, and that would make us bad people. And I need you to understand that you are not in this world to be the savior of everybody else. That you have to trust, because I know a lot of people who follow this podcast too consider themselves spiritual people, and this is across whatever religious belief. You have to stop making yourself God. You have to stop making yourself the Messiah to other people. You have to trust that whatever spirit, universe, power you believe in is bigger than you and can take care of these people and will place people, situations, access, and resources in their life that is bigger and more powerful than you. And that your source, power, spirit, universe wants you to have the same amount of freedom, prosperity, happiness, growth, and enjoy. And you can't fly. You can't do that when you're trying to carry around everybody else's baggage and weight. It's okay for you to let it go. You were never supposed to pick it up in the first place. It was never yours to begin with. That's probably why might be part of why this relationship did not work out the way that it did, or that you might be feeling a lot of emotional stress right now. Because you have charged yourself to be in charge of things that were never your responsibility in the first place. They've always been that person's. And that person has to walk their own journey. They have to, just like you are doing your own work, they have to do their own work too. And it doesn't matter how much you're there, how long you're there, how much you're your friend, that you're their friend, no matter how much money you give, time you give, advice you give, if they are not ready and if they are not able to walk that journey, they're not going to do it. And they're going to do it in their own timing. So it is best for you to focus on your own life and surrender that and let other people live their own life so that you can finally start to live yours. Sometimes people do not want to not be friends with an ex because they are afraid of missing out. They're afraid that right when they let go, that this person is going to magically make all the changes that they've wanted them to make, that they are going to miss out on all the effort and work that they put into this person and put into this experience. And so they want to be around either to jump back into the relationship or to be able to get some of the praise and affirmation and validation and thanks and gratitude for all they put into this person. That's another thing that's going to be very important for you to surrender. You know, if I kept hanging around, and I know I keep using extreme examples, but it's just, it is what it is, y'all. If I kept hanging around the dumpster in the back of my favorite restaurant waiting for scraps, you know, they might throw some out. They just might. And you know, it might be mixed up with a whole lot of crap, but every once in a while there may be a couple of cilantro lime jalapeno chicken things, as I think about my favorite restaurant, that come out on a plate on its own. But me standing around the dumpster waiting for scraps, when I could go right around in and walk inside and get exactly what I wanted, or go to any other place that has exactly my favorite recipe, my favorite dish, instead of just focus on the dumpster behind this one place. That sounds insane, right? And when we stay around places and situations waiting for folks to kind of figure it out, and we're kind of lingering because we're afraid we're going to miss our moment, it's the same thing. You're acting as if this person, this situation, is your only access to whatever it is that you're hoping for, whether or not you're hoping for fidelity, whether or not you're hoping for a partner that has a lot of confidence, whether or not you're hoping for a partner that sees you and considers you beautiful, whether or not you're hoping for a partner that sees you and thinks that you're worth fighting for and thinks that you're worth working for. The more you hang around someone who doesn't have that for you, that trash behavior, you are completely shifting your attention to things that are beneath you and that are not worth your time. So this is me, y'all, in case you're still kind of like, wow, like, well, this is hard, because now we're talking about the quality of the relationship. Yeah, because if there's any part of you that is wanting to be friends with this person, not because you want to be their friend, but because you're hoping for some type of romantic connection, intrigue, a do-over, then you have to be honest with yourself about that. And if you're honest with yourself about that, then that requires you to be honest with what is the nature of your relationship, the nature of this person, the nature of what brought y'all to this place in the first place. Because being a friend is real work. We don't just snap friendship or the friend label onto just any Tom, Dick, and Harry that's around us, right? People have to not only earn that spot, but keep it. And so we can't just let people who just happen to be in our life for a few weeks, a few months, or a few years automatically be put into the friend category if they have not treated us like a friend, if they don't have friendship qualities for us, right? Another reason that people may want to stay friends with someone, this is still the second question, why do I want to be friends with them, is the fear of being alone, which we've kind of hit on a little bit already. You know, what am I using this person for? Fear of judgment is something that I mentioned a little bit at the top of the episode. So other people who might be able to stay friends with their exes for a long period of time and keep them around, you know, especially those who may talk about breaking up with folks and they still get favors for them or they still have access to them in some way. And so you want to try to match that energy and keep up with that. And your story is your own. And what is best is when you make decisions that are good for you emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually. And so you can be just as, if not more, emotionally healthy and evolved than someone else and know, you know what, this relationship was so toxic and so chaotic that me even entertaining any piece of it would actually be me lowering myself, right? And so you have to be the one who's in charge of making that decision if that fits your story and fits the scenario. There are so many different combinations and stories for the people who listen to this podcast. So as always, take what you need and apply it where you see fit. Are you wanting to prove to yourself that you're over them and strong enough to stay their friend? So I have a whole episode that talks about do not test yourself. Do not test yourself. And the reasons why a lot of times people may want to test themselves, I believe it's episode 64. So you can go back to that one if that is you. If you're someone who's like, I don't believe in setting boundaries or not talking to people because I refuse to let them have power over me, that kind of thing. And meanwhile, you might also be someone which, as much as you say that and claim that, you may have a lot of experiences that shows why you shouldn't test yourself and be around dysfunctional relationships. Like I've said before in this episode, and of course, all times before, love addiction, trauma bonds, codependency has nothing to do with logic. It has nothing to do with logic, intellect, or willpower. These are all subconscious, unconscious, reflexive things that we do that we don't even see the impact of it until it's already done. And even then, we're already kind of under the spell. We're already justifying things before it even starts. So please do not set yourself up in these positions to do that type of stuff. And then, of course, the last thing that I wrote down, which I've already kind of gotten to, is why do I want to be friends with them? Is because I secretly want to get back with them, right? And so here's what I want to be clear about before we even get to the last question is, well, I guess the last question does involve this. The last question is, what does friendship look like? You need to know what is a real friend. So make a list. If you do not already have a list, I know a lot of people have lists for what they want a romantic partner. Make a list about what does a friendship look like? What is a friend? How does a friend act? How does a friend talk? What is applicable to a friend? And write that out and see if that matches the person. What Love Addicts will also do sometimes is when you get homework that is for you, you will very excitedly take it back to that person. So whether or not it is a podcast episode that talks about dysfunction in a relationship, and then, you know, you'll write out, this is what I want you to do. You'll give this person a list of those things. And I am all about team communication, right? But if you have a partner that is not fully invested in the relationship, you may lose a whole lot of energy fighting with them about this list and trying to, you know, they do one or two things on the list of 20. And so you feel like there's progress when really this person is just breadcrumbing you and nickel and diming you, you know? And so it could, same thing can happen when it comes to friendships as well. We really want to make it happen. We so want to find a way to keep this person around that we are going to find a way to justify to keep them there. And so in this case, you make this list that is supposed to be a solo assignment and you do it for yourself. And then you go and you bring it to this person and you say, hey, I want us to be friends and this is what I need from you. Can we be friends? Now, if this was any other scenario where you were talking with someone who was like a new friend or someone that you've been friends with for a long time and, you know, you are learning about yourself or you're wanting to communicate and y'all are having a friendship date, this might be a really great connection opportunity. But we're talking about an ex relationship, which might be just fresh off the presses. So y'all have both decided, or maybe one person has decided, that they do not want to move forward in creating a partnership together. So coming to that relationship and saying, hey, here's a list of requirements that I have for us to stay in relationship together. It doesn't make sense. It just really doesn't make sense. And so this is for you. You have to start to go through life instead of trying to figure out how to fit people into places, knowing who you are, knowing what you want, knowing what your standards are, and then seeing who comes ready-made. We got to stop being Barbara the Builder. We got to stop trying to make people be and do something that is not who they are. And so does this person come with ready-made skills to be who we want them to be? And can you make that list, by the way, without this person in mind? Scratch this person out of your mind. You're not making this list for them. You're making it for yourself. What is it that I want and need in my friendships, period? And then see who fits and aligns with that. Okay? So that's what I got for this episode. I hope that this was helpful. Please share this with someone who you feel like may need it. I am so happy to share this episode. So we have wrapped up our mini series, our winter series now, where we talked about, we had our me month, which was a few episodes about relationships with our relationship with ourself and self-love. Wrapped up our mama month, which we talked about mother wounds and trauma, and then just finished our money trauma work. Workshops or worksheets, but our money trauma episodes. And so now we're in our mate month, which is basically what I already teach about. So I'm going to say that we have concluded our 2 months of winter workshops, and now we are back on the road to what I always teach about, which is healing through our relationships and through our relationship with ourselves, using relationships as a mirror. So this is the first episode back into that. So I hope that this gave you what you needed. And I look forward to seeing you in our next episodes. If you are someone who is wanting to work together to heal from these symptoms of love addiction and love avoidance, I'm having an open house for my March cohort for the recovery school on Tuesday, March 19th at 6:30 p.m. CST. I'll be going over the full program of what it looks like to work with me, what you can expect to learn during our 6 months together, the stories of the women who have had their lives changed, and answer any questions that you have so that you can break all of these cycles of unhealthy relationships within half a year. So you can sign up by going to blackgirlsheal.org/open house, and I look forward to seeing you there. That's it for now. As always, take care of yourselves, and I'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.